So I'm here with Sally Talbot. Sally, the Arthur Rank Hospice looked after your mum?
Yes, they did. So my mum died at home, but she spent 3 weeks actually at the hospice, 2 weeks before she died. So they were quite good in preparing us for her coming home. She actually went on holiday, having left the Arthur Rank Hospice, the Isle of Wight, as that was her main goal, was to get back to the Isle of Wight. So that was, and she did.
And what did you know about hospices before the Arthur Rank experience?
Nothing really. So for me, if I ever heard Arthur Rank, it just filled me with dread, because I just thought, oh God, everyone goes there when it's the end of life. My kind of perception of it was it would be really depressing. Everybody would be just there dying in hospital beds. So yeah, and I think that's what most people probably think that haven't experienced them.
And what was it like?
Home from home is what it was like. I actually got accused by my mum and dad for treating it like a hotel.
You felt very relaxed.
Yeah, because they had visitors' kitchens. You could just you can turn up any time. The only time they don't have visitors is lunchtime, just for 1 hour. So you could turn up 23 hours of the day. There's visitors' kitchen, which is always stocked with tea, coffee, biscuits, stuff in the fridge. There's an oven in there, so if you want to stay and actually cook your dinner, you can do that. You just, yeah, it was kind of a bizarre experience in a way. You just walk through the door, everyone's like, hello, and you just trot off to where you're going. And
this is a very difficult time in your life. Your mum is dying.
Yeah.
But it made this difficult time easier.
A lot easier, I think. And sort of, I work random hours, so it meant that I can just go, that I could fit that around my work, not have to worry about only being able to go for sort of 10, 15 minutes or not at all. My dad used to go twice a day. Somebody went every day. My dad used to go mostly twice a day. I was teaching yoga a bit more in Cambridge then, so often after evening classes I could still go in. So yeah, it made everybody's lives a lot easier, not just my mum's.
Yeah, how did it make the end of life experience for your mum, do you think?
I think both her and my dad felt safe in there. So my mum, she had two periods of time in there. One just for a blood transfusion. So I think she was only in there a couple of days, 2 or 3 days. She mainly went there for pain control originally, which was the only one time her pain was under control, when she was in Arthur Rank. Each time she was in there, she seemed to perk up. And I think that she worried about my dad worrying about her. And I think for a woman, my mum was a really traditional woman who was the woman of the house. She did everything, kept it all going, proper housewife. So I think to think that my dad would have to run the joint was quite a big, you know, thing for him, which he did teach him how to use the washing machine. And that was probably as far as his skills go. And it took a burden off him as well, because somebody was always there if you needed somebody. In hospital, you ring the buzzer and you panic because you don't know if anybody's going to come, but you've rung your buzzer because you need somebody. Whereas, you know, in Arthur Rank, you ring the buzzer and somebody will pop their head around the door and nothing is too much trouble, which is what, for me, was just massive, really, big difference.
And emotionally, did you find it a support?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I didn't really get too involved in the meetings. I don't think my mum and dad wanted us to know too much, because we are their children, even though we're kind of nearly 40.
Yeah,
so a lot of that was kind of kept from us. But I know that, you know, I think just the fact that somebody came to see them every day, talked through her medication, and my mum used to really worry about her pain, and if sort of the medication wasn't coming yet, she'd panic about being in pain if it wasn't there on time. But everybody was just sort of on hand all of the time.
And she died at home, your mum, but the Arthur Rank Hospice helped with that.
Yeah, to prepare for her to come home, they kind of helped us out to make things easier at home, and then organised kind of a rail on the bed and something to put in the shower, you know, so she could still sit on the bath and have a shower, pull herself up out of bed and all of that. And then she had a buzzer, which also made a big difference for my dad, because my dad would not leave her side. So my dad had the thingy, my mum had a buzzer, so that he could at least be in the garden and she could buzz him if she needed him. So I think that gave him a bit of independence as well, because he would only be as far as the next room where he could still see her beforehand. So we had a few buzzes of family arguments. Mum was like, you lot, can you just shut up, please? To like buzzers to shut us up sometimes.
And we're sitting in your yoga hut now, and in the corner of your yoga hut is your lovely dog, yeah, Harry. And Harry features in this story as well, doesn't
he? Harry is quite well known at Arthur Rank. So me and Harry held a faint last year in aid of Arthur Rank, and he was able to go and visit my mum in the hospice. So after sort of a couple of days, I asked if dogs were allowed, and thinking they could probably go in the garden. But they're like, oh, yeah, he can come. And I was like, well, where can we go? He can go wherever. So he'd trot on through into my mum's room, sit on the bed. People were feeding him digestive biscuits. And my mum had dog biscuits in the cupboard for when he came. So,
but this was good for everyone, wasn't it? Not just for Harry, but yeah, for your mum and for you.
Yeah, made a difference. Because me and my mum would worry about him being left on his own. So, like, if I'd been out too long, did I need to get back to him, especially if I went there straight from work? She'd be like, oh, you need to get back. You need to get back to Harry. So it meant that I could spend more time there, but also my mum wasn't worrying about whether someone was with him, and she still got to see him. You know, his grandma, he calls her. So, you know, and she used to look after him a lot. So it was nice that she, you know, she still got to see him. And he had cancer at the time. So he was sort of going through scans and stuff, and it was quite nice for my mum to sort of have a chat with Harry about how his things were going, that was the same as what she was going through. So he is a dog, but he is a big part of our family. So I think to be able to share the experience, even if it's a dog who is very non-assuming, so he's not going to really have much to say on the matter. But
and a year on, you heard from the hospice again?
Yeah, so we then got, well, my dad gets most of the correspondence, but to be invited back if you need sort of any bereavement counselling. So they get in touch with you quite early on, and then you just say if you're, you know, happy as you are, or, you know, you want to go and have any help that you need, which my dad had said no to. But obviously with the anniversary approaching, they get back in touch just to check that you're all right still. And considering my mum died at home, you wouldn't think that that date would particularly be relevant to them. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that they have on their books, so it makes a big difference, I think.
It makes it as positive an experience, by the sound of it, as it can be, given the circumstances.
It made a massive difference to us, and it's bizarre, because we were a bit worried about when the new hospice opened, because in a funny way, we feel quite attached to the old hospice, even though we only spent a short time there. But the difference that can make to you in a really awful time of your life is massive. And we're like, oh, I don't know if it's going to be the same when the new hospice opens. Because it is really homely there. And actually, it turned out that years ago, previous, I'd done some of my yoga training there. We used to go there once a month and do a little course in their day therapy unit. So we thought, oh, God, you know, when the new one's going to be twice as big, it's going to be all new. But we went to one of their open tours and were just amazed by it. And it's like, and my dad, who would never go to the doctors and probably still won't go to the doctors, I did say to him, would you feel that you would come here? And he said, yeah, I think I would. And for him to say that is huge.
It's made you feel, all your family, by the sound of it, feel differently about hospices and the hospice movement.
This is just like, it's like a holiday home, which I know is a really bizarre thing to say, because it's not a holiday period of your life whatsoever. But I think just that burden that it takes away from you at that period of time is, you can't explain it until you experience it, and hopefully you don't have to. But yeah, they're just, the new hospice is amazing. They have thought of everything. So even though the old hospice was lovely, it was homely, and it functioned as well as it needed to, the new one is just something else.